The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about the group Teachers for Palestine. So you might have seen them announcing on social media a proposed two-week campaign in schools beginning the 29th of April, which is this day next week, next Monday, and two school weeks it would run for until the 10th of May to, as they say, bring awareness to events in Gaza. They are calling on schools to find somewhere in the fortnight to include a bit about Palestine in lessons, calling on school communities to organise collective fundraisers, fly the Palestinian flag and have a culture day, and canvas to make the school an apartheid-free zone. Cunnel O'Dufig is from the group Teachers for Palestine. Cunnel, you're welcome to the show. Explain the rationale behind this and what you would hope to achieve.
Well, first off, I'd like to say that this is a very elective situation. You know, schools and principals and teachers can all sign off on this or not. No one is being forced to bring this into their classroom. I'd like to point out as well that just the backlash it got in the last 24 hours seems a little bit overblown to me. you know, there's no endorsement of violence, no discrimination. It's actually blatantly stated in the goals there should be no discrimination, including Islamophobia or anti-Semitism. Our goal is to bring awareness to the plight of Palestinians. This is something that has been raised with us by our students. It's something that's come up a lot in conversations. It's very much in the news. It ties very directly into a lot of elements of the school curriculum, both primary and secondary. There's a lot of stuff in our curriculums now about active citizenship, global citizenship, you know, in history. And then there's the short courses in junior cycle for like CSPE, social empathy, all of these kinds of things. It ties directly into so many elements of the school curriculum, while also not really being present in the textbooks. So we felt that there was a need there, especially given everything that's been happening in the news, to raise this issue in our schools and to allow space for, you know, for materials to be brought in and discussed and also debated. I think opposing views should be welcome in any classroom, and I think that's very much part of our plan for this awareness fortnight.
So would you, in that context, when you talk about opposing views, would you have, and happily have someone in to talk about October 7th and hostage taking and, you know, suicide bombers on public buses during the Second Intifada?
Well, I very much believe that those should be discussed as part of the awareness. And I believe that those points can be raised. Now, that said, we're dealing with a situation where we have over 34,000 people dead in Gaza, multiple attacks on schools. The International Court of Justice has ruled it a plausible genocide. I believe that's very, very pressing at the moment. So I don't know if I would go straight into talking about, you know, suicide bombing during the Second Intifada while people are dying in their tens of thousands. I do believe it's relevant. I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm just saying I don't believe it should be the focus right now. In the same way that when Ukraine was invaded 2 years ago, you know, many schools organized actions. I myself organized a fundraiser for the Ukrainian Red Cross with our home economics teacher in the school. We weren't, you know, nobody was saying like, oh, what about the, you know, the Azov battalion? We really have to focus in on, you know, war crimes that were committed by that side. In that case, it was very clear which side was the, you know, was suffering in far, far greater numbers. And in this case, very similar.
Ian O'Doherty is with us as well, the Irish Independent columnist. Ian, it is true. I mean, lots of schools held fundraisers for refugees coming from Ukraine a couple of years ago. There would have been Ukrainian flags.
Two completely different scenarios.
Okay.
excuse me. This idea is entirely predictable, entirely deranged, excuse me, and I think actually quite dangerous. We're seeing a rise in anti-Semitism across Europe, particularly in Britain, and I've seen a lot of it in Ireland. Let's just, and what a surprise to hear that there'd be no mention of suicide bombers or the Second Intifada. And I've been to Israel many times, and I've been to places where the suicide bombers killed people, and the Israelis will never forget. They will never forget, and we don't understand. And the idea of indoctrinating children, because when you're telling children a story, you have to give them a kind of black and white. You have, you know, because, you know, when they get older, when they get into sort of 15, 16, they can begin to understand nuance and complexity. But as we've seen, and as I've seen in the Irish media, the amount of Irish adults who don't understand the complexity and the nuance of what's going on over there at the moment. How on earth are you going to expect children to kind of grasp this? This is a genuinely, like Alan Shatter was right when he came out and he condemned this. This is a group that's politically adjacent to the Ireland-Palestine Solidarity Committee. And what you have to remember is that a lot of these groups, they're not necessarily pro-Palestinian so much as anti-Israeli. And I just find it quite remarkable that any rational grown adult could suggest that a special needs assistant in a school should bring up the topic of Palestine to their special needs children and their neurodivergent children and stuff like that. You're going, what good can possibly come from any of this? If I...
But you, I guess you'd be bringing it up, and I'll come back to Cunnell on this front as well. You'd be bringing it up in an appropriate way and they would understand what's appropriate. So, you know what I mean? We've had mention of Ukraine. I mean, there's plenty of examples throughout history. When I was in school, we would have been kind of raising money kind of for famine in Ethiopia or whatever. We didn't necessarily have to learn about kind of white man's guilt or post-colonialism or kind of corruption or anything.
The difference between this, you can make it simple and you can talk about the plight of people in Gaza. There's a difference
and between
making it simple and making it simplistic.
Without talking about kind of
The difference between this scenario and the one we're seeing in Ukraine is that the Russians started the war. In this scenario, Hamas started the war on October the 7th. Hamas are the ones who slaughtered, raped and kidnapped more than 1,400 people. Hamas are the ones who are using schools in Gaza to launch rockets from. Hamas are the ones who are using their own children as human shields.
Okay. Let me go back to Conal. Sorry, I cut you off there because I put that question to Ian.
Thank you. I thought we were going to debate in terms of facts and in terms of curriculum. That's how very much how I addressed this. I was immediately called... I can't remember, something disgraceful or was something harsher
deranged,
than that.
I think was the word.
Deranged, sorry. Yeah, thank you, Ian. I'd like to point
Anytime.
Out, I did not say that there should be no mention of suicide bombers. In fact, I said it was very relevant. I said the main focus at the moment is on the ongoing, I would argue, genocide, which is occurring in Gaza.
It's not genocide.
Secondly, as far as...
Well, hold on now, I let Ian speak.
Thank you. As far as indoctrination goes, I also highlighted the value of debate in classes. I'm a big fan of Paulo Freire and the idea of problem-posing education, where we can discuss an issue and allow for opposing viewpoints. I think that is crucial, and I think that every class should be a safe space to do that. Now, when you're referring to neurodivergent students and how they're unable to grasp a lot of this, neurodivergent is a very, very wide category of students. And much like when we're talking about ages and stuff like that, we have outlined a lot of materials on our site in our bio, which you're welcome to have a look at, which are tailored to two different groups, two particular classes and two particular age groups and abilities. I think it was actually very dismissive of you to put out there that, you know, neurodivergent children, which includes, you know, children with dyslexia, dyscalculia, dyspraxia, autism, that they are not able to engage with this issue. They very, very clearly, many of them are, like all other students. Now, you highlight the difference between Russia and Israel. And I'd like to point out, you actually could probably maybe benefit from some of our lessons here, because you have quite a simplistic view when you say that the war began on October 7th with Hamas. Are you aware, Ian, that several hundred Palestinian children were killed in the year 2023 before October 7th? Now, I don't defend October 7th. We do not endorse violence on any side as a point of principle. But at the same time, the war did not begin on October 7th. The
situation about the Palestinian children that the head of Hamas referred to as martyrs because they were engaged in riots against the IDF? Are they the children you're referring to?
Martyrs?
Well, just because the leader of Hamas referred to them as martyrs doesn't make them so. I mean,
it's a kind of indication.
Yeah,
here,
it's an indication of how Hamas interpret their role. But I mean, you're not defending the killing of children because the leader of Hamas considers them martyrs, are you?
Amnesty International.
I think he is.
Amnesty International last week released a statement condemning the death of a young Palestinian in jail in Israel. And it turned out that the young Palestinian who was portrayed as being a young innocent, and everybody obviously condemns the death of innocent people, He'd stabbed two Israelis and tried to rape a woman because he was sent on a martyr mission. And this is what we're dealing with. And I mean, I don't know whether Connell's ever been over to Israel. I mean, I don't know whether he actually knows what it's like on the ground.
Palestinian jail. With all due respect, Ian, I don't know if you know what it's like on the ground. You visited Israel. How much time have you spent in the West Bank or Gaza? I don't believe that's fully relevant.
I'm actually barred. I'm barred from. There's two places I'm barred from. I'm barred from Gaza and I'm barred from Syria. And I will take both of those as a badge of honour, to be perfectly honest with you.
Now, when confronted with the idea of children having been murdered, you highlight one case where a child, I assume it's alleged, it may have gone through the courts and been proven, who knows. There are hundreds and hundreds of Palestinians and Palestinian children in Israeli jails. Now, it's often accused, the accusation is put out there, that they are there for throwing rocks. Now, I should point out, first off, children should not be jailed indefinitely for throwing rocks. And to, you know, the legend in many of those cases. The way a lot of these arrests happen is the middle of the night, especially in the West Bank, the Israeli army can turn up to someone's door, knock on it, raid the place, take a 14 or 15-year-old or younger, keep them in an Israeli jail for months and months. The first contact they have with their family is at their hearing. And it's been well documented by a lot of human rights groups, including the Israeli group B'Tselem, and Palestinian groups like Adamir or Amnesty International, that one of the main purposes of this, it very clearly seems, is to try and get these children to name people in their towns. And therefore, you know what I mean, build up targets and stuff like that. So children are seen as a weak point in Palestinian society to try and gather informants.
Would all of this be included in some of the school discussions, Connor?
What's that?
Would all of this be included in some of the school discussions, do you think?
I would say if and where appropriate. To be fair, it was Ian who went for some very, very graphic imagery, which I would not raise in school. And also, which would be pointed out, like some of which is debated about October 7th. Al Jazeera had a very comprehensive documentary covering the events of October 7th. there were 1,200 Israelis killed on October 7th. Every one of those lives was valuable. We're talking about 34,000. So a multiple of over 30 Palestinians who've been killed in response, in essentially in a revenge attack. By Israel's own admission, they have killed 13,000, own figures, 13,000 militants have been killed. That means that over 20,000 civilians by Israel's own admission are among the dead.
Ian, given the scale of devastation and given those numbers, I mean, is there not some sense in equipping schools and teachers with resources to field questions from students?
I don't think so. I really think, and I would have the same vehement opposition if it was a pro-Israeli campaign group that were trying to put the Israeli point of view across, right?
Actually, Ian, I would like to challenge you on that point specifically. I'm not trying to interrupt in general.
Well, you're doing a very good job of it.
Well, Conal, make this point to him and then I'm going to finish with Ian because I started with you. Go on.
Of course, yeah. Just specifically, you said you didn't have an issue with people raising the argument on behalf of Russia or in terms of Russia and Ukraine, specifically because you saw the situation as different. Why not Israel then?
I don't understand.
I fundamentally don't believe you would object to pro-Israel lessons based on what you said about Ukraine. It's a contradiction.
I just said I would object to pro-Israel lessons. So if you can't type out my word, well, then that's your failing, not mine.
He doesn't believe
you. You don't object to the same lessons.
Listen, at this point, I mean, if you're kind of, I don't believe you, you know, you're entitled not to believe each other, but there's very little I can do by way.
Look, Kieran, the very simple fact, release the hostages. Release the last few remaining hostages. Stop using your own kids as human shields. And then we can finally get an end to this absolute carnage.
Ian O'Doherty from the Irish Independent, Conall O'Duffig, who's from Teachers for Palestine. Conall and Ian, thank you both very much for joining me here on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.